Christmas. Happy Hanukkah, America. This is the Sarah Carter Show. I'm coming to you from Hillsdale College Kirby Center. I'm also a fellow with the Independent Women's Forum. Please go online, visit the Independent Women's Forum, and read about what we're doing, making great, great changes here in America and educating everybody about what's happening all across the country, issues that are important not only to women but to men as well. And you can follow all my stories at sarahacarter.com. Again, that's sarahacarter.com, where you can read the latest of what's happening here in Washington, D.C. and around the world. Also, follow me on Twitter, Sarah Carter D.C. That's at Sarah Carter D.C. I am so excited today. I know this is the Christmas holiday season, and everyone is just getting together with their families. I'm so happy to have my family together at home. I'm not traveling anywhere this Christmas. I'm just spending time with my kids and, you know, cooking and decorating the tree. And maybe we'll find some time to go out and do some ice skating. And I hope we get a weekend in where we can do some skiing. Although I'm really amateur skier, I spend most of my time on the bunny slope. But I still feel like a winner when I'm out there. If I make it down the bunny slope, I'm really happy. So, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas impeachment. Every Christmas has a Grinch. And this year's Grinch Award goes to Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi. They're in a tie. They are the Grinches. That's what I'm going to call them now. The Grinches who stole the American Constitution with impeachment. I remember this from when I was a child watching the Grinch. You know, remember watching the Grinch cartoon or reading The Grinch Who Stole Christmas? It's like they just wanted to steal our spirit. It's like, hi, America, we know you voted for President Trump. We don't like it. So we're going to try to, and we will, impeach him for nothing. Not even a crime. So Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Thank you so much, Nancy Pelosi, whose district, by the way, is falling apart and has tons of problems in San Francisco, you know, not spending any time taking care of her state and all the issues that are affecting her state. But she wants to tell you, the American public, that you basically aren't smart enough to vote for president. She needs to pick that one for you. And her and Adam Schiff, they're going to lie. I've said this before, and push out all these lies and this disinformation about President Trump. And very partisan, super partisan, can't get more partisan than what just happened with the impeachment vote, voted to impeach President Trump. Guess what? President Trump doesn't care. He just ignored them. He's like, whatever. These people have lost their proverbial minds, and the American people, and it's sad, it's disappointing. The American people are going to move forward and they are going to celebrate. We are going to celebrate Christmas and we are not going to allow these Grinches to ruin our holiday. Today, though, I have such a good friend of mine on the show and I'm so excited. It's Buck Sexton. Buck and I have known each other for years. He has his own podcast, The Buck Sexton Show. He's amazing. So you got to be listening to him too, downloading his podcast, because I'm telling you, this man knows his stuff. He is, you know, he's a former officer with the CIA. He served overseas in Afghanistan. He and I both know that place very well and that country and the circumstances surrounding our longest war in that region. He is also former with the New York City Police Department's Intel Division, and I'll talk to him a little bit about that. So he really understands national security issues and foreign policy issues. He is, I can't even tell you how many times Buck and I, when I bring him on, we're going to talk a little bit about this, but Buck and I met each other for the first time when we used to be at the Blaze with Glenn Beck. So he had this great show. We would go on and, you know, we would talk about issues that affect everyday Americans. Pete Hegseth was on the show with us. There were some others that would come on and we'd have these panel discussions and it would be so much fun. And Buck had this little bear. He called it the commie bear. Buck had no idea what was coming. He had no idea how Russia was going to play such a significant role in all of our lives. And he had this funny little commie bear. He has this great Russian accent. Stravanietsky, I do too sometimes. Sometimes I do. But Buck really has it. And he can talk to us about that. You know, the threats that we're seeing around the world. But this is Christmas, and I don't really want to focus on all those crazy threats. I want to focus on what's important to us in the holiday season, and why we are basically the greatest nation on earth. I know, I brag about that. Maybe sound a little bit nationalistic here, but we are. It's so awesome. We have so much to share with the rest of the world and so much happening all over the world that is good. Not everything is bad. There are great people out there. I've always tell my kids this one thing. You know, they say, Mom, you're traveling to a war zone or you're going to a dangerous place. Aren't you scared? What if something happens? I always tell them, I believe there are more good people in this world than there are bad. Oh my gosh, there's Michael Anton. He just walked by and waved at me. I don't know if you guys know who he is, but Michael Anton is also an amazing person who was with the National Security Council with the White House. With President Trump, and is an incredible scholar. And whenever I read his work, I learn so much more. I grow from reading it. And sometimes my head feels like it's going to explode because he's just that smart. He's just that smart of a guy. So I'm not going to take up a lot of time because I want Buck on the show. I want to hear him. I want us to banter back and forth. I want to hear what he's been up to. And I want to introduce you to such a great friend. And if you're not listening to his podcast, you should be. I don't mind sharing. I'm not a jealous type. And especially when it comes to Buck, I feel like you could learn so much from him. Hey, Buck, are you there?
Hey, Sarah, what's going on?
I am so excited. I have been bragging to everybody who's listening about how awesome you are and how long we've known each other, and our work beginning at the Blaze together is where we first met. I told them about Commie Bear. By the way, I promised, okay, just so we can make this clear, because you can tell I'm really excited. Buck had no idea how much Russia was going to affect our nation when he had Commie Bear. Or maybe you did. Can you give him a little bit of Commie Bear? Because I thought that was the best.
Well, Commie Bear was a character created back in the day in the Blaze for our roundtable show, Real News. And he was sort of like a cryogenically frozen throat to the Soviet Union, but would comment on events today. And he was a little bear with obviously a hammer and sickle t-shirt on, a little Kalashnikov and a little vodka bottle and an eye patch, of course, just to make him look a little more badass. And he would comment on the day's events. But, you know, now, Sarah, now that you're bringing this up, I feel like we should dust off the bear. And
yes.
Maybe we'd make him Ukraine. We'd make him Ukraine bear now.
I agree. Would he still wear an eye patch? Because that's what I want.
Oh, for sure.
The eye patch. And what would he drink?
Well, he obviously drinks vodka. I mean, there's no question about that. And we might even get like a little Rambo bandana for him or something. You know, we're trying to spice it up a little bit. But who knew that Ukraine would be the single, at least to crazy Democrats, the single most important foreign policy challenge of the last 20 years? It's pretty remarkable how that's happened.
It's completely insane, Buck. When I think about this, what's happened, this is so historic. And this is the part where I'm going to get a little serious, because your commentary on this is so important. And the American people really understand when you explain it to them in such simple terms. How did you feel about this impeachment vote? And where do you think this is going?
Well, you know, on my show, you know, which is the radio show and the podcast, I've been saying for many months that they're going to impeach the president. I mean, this was not a surprise to me. I think as far back, at least I think I'm on record back in June saying that Pelosi, they're going to do this, that they're going to impeach the president because they've always wanted to. And they really don't think that the rules apply anymore. I mean, one thing that is disconcerting is that the Democrats have embraced both telling us that they are defending institutions while they are simultaneously tearing those institutions down or abandoning them or undermining them. So there's no real way to see them halfway on any of this stuff. I mean, this is the mentality of absolutists, and that's what we're up against now. And that's what you see with this impeachment, which, you know, just even some of the stuff, Sarah, that you and I understand is nonsense, like it was somber. They didn't want to do this. You know, when Pelosi do a hand gesture thing, like don't cheer, don't clap. We all know they wanted to cheer and clap. So what difference does it really make if we see what they really believe? Because we already know who they are and what they're doing here. So on the one hand, I mean, it's kind of an unfunny joke. I mean, the whole thing is preposterous, but it also does show us who we're up against politically going into the next election and what they're willing to do.
Oh, and what they've been willing to do is really drag this country and divide this nation like we've never seen before. You brought up the fact that Pelosi really had to try to calm down her mob during the impeachment. I want to play this little clip of Rashida Tlaib because I can't get over it. How giddy she is. She posted it on Twitter. It was her and her like group super excited to go vote and impeach the president. Just listen to this, and then I want to get your take on it.
Hey, everyone. I am on my way to the United States House floor to impeach President Trump on behalf of my incredible district, 13 districts strong. Let's.
So crazy. She's like palpitating. She's like so excited. She's like skipping down the halls of Congress. What goes through your mind, Buck, when you see this, when you hear this? I mean, this is not somber. This is not like taken seriously. This is like a weapon. Their impeachment is their weapon.
Well, anybody who's not a complete moron understands that when Pelosi and others say that they're prayerful and they wish. I mean, this is what they say. They say they wish they didn't have to do this. But the president of the United States is making them do this. Intelligent people know that that's just crap. And CNN was pushing this yesterday. And, you know my thoughts on CNN, Sarah. I mean, I used to work over there. The place is completely insane. Those people have lost their minds.
Totally.
There's no honesty or integrity. In fact, really the worst things now are the alleged journalists over there. I mean, at least the opinion people, you know they're left-wing hacks. But the journalists are the ones engaged in a day-to-day fraud, by pretending that they don't have opinions, by pretending they aren't activists. But in terms of the members of Congress, Rashida Tlaib is saying what we know all the Democrats pretty much. I mean, there are probably a few that recognize this might blow back. I believe it will blow back, by the way, in the fall. But by and large, the Democrats love this because they hate President Trump.
That's it. They hate President Trump. That's it. And Jenny even called. I had Jenny contact Jenny Tare. She writes for my website. I had her call Nancy Pelosi's office to ask where Nancy Pelosi prays, if she has been praying for President Trump. I mean, she's the one that brought it up. Like, what church does she go to? Did she pray on the day of impeachment? Of course, they never returned any phone calls. And, you know, we felt a little jilted by that. But we put up a story anyways that, you know, we want to know where are these Democrats that say they're praying for President Trump? Where are they praying? What are they praying?
Well, also, what are they praying for, Sarah? Because
right.
Nothing changed. We woke up today and President Trump is still President Trump. Nothing has really changed other than Democrats have shown a willingness to act like spoiled children. I mean, I really do believe not only do they worship a child as a climate change god and prophet, but they do act like spoiled children. They don't win and then they claim that it's rigged. They don't get what they want and they say the other side cheated, and they don't ever have a moment of introspection where they just say, you know what, maybe we should change some of what we're doing, change some of what we're saying. No, there's always an excuse for why they lose. There's always an excuse for why they haven't gotten their way. I mean, my favorite thing is the speed of the impeachment proceedings, Sarah, right? They got to do it fast. They can't wait for this to be adjudicated in the courts. Mm-hmm. They can't wait for the witnesses. They got to do it fast. And now we're hearing today the story from Pelosi is she may hold back the articles of impeachment from the Senate, which is just a bizarre, a really reckless, unconstitutional, and but even beyond that, I thought that there was no time to waste and this had to go right away.
Oh, that's right.
He
was the greatest threat, Buck. That's what they were saying. He's the greatest threat. We have to get this done. We got to deliver this. And now she wants to hold on to it in perpetuity. What does that mean?
Yeah, well, it shows you that they're afraid that you might get a few Senate Democrat defections to acquit the president. And then what you would have is an entirely Democrat party line impeachment vote followed by a bipartisan Senate acquittal. And guess what? That would look really bad. It would show who the Democrats really are, at least who the Democrats in the House really are. Nancy Pelosi has to find some way to control this narrative once it leaves the... I love this, too. Well, the House that rigged the rules against the president with Schiff and Co., and the Schiff Show, as everyone's calling it, now comes up with, you have to do things our way in the Senate, or else we won't even let you do your constitutional obligation of a Senate trial. I mean, it's absurd, Sarah.
They're like, trying to hold the country hostage. They're trying to hold the administration hostage. Everyone is being held hostage by these left radical Democrats. I can't even say, you know, I'm going to go back to Commie Bear. They resemble Commie Bear to me, these guys.
Oh, I call them commies all the time these days, because there is a totalitarian streak in the thinking. I mean, they haven't yet been able to completely overtake the economy with central planning. Although, you know, regulation, taxation, these are just different ways to achieve, in many cases, different ways to achieve socialist and Marxist ends. So people need to understand that just because people don't refer to themselves as communist, doesn't mean that they don't share a lot of ideology with, a lot of goals with people that believe in a radically egalitarian society, radically equal society. And the Democrats are certainly getting closer and closer to that all the time. I mean, if I had told someone 10 years ago that two of the top three candidates for the Democrat primary were straight up socialists, which is what they can say, democratic socialists, as much as they want, they're socialists. Warren and Sanders are socialists.
Right.
They would have said that was crazy, that, you know, no way. Well, we're already there, and it's been 10 years. Where are we going to be in another 10 years? And that's the question I think people have to keep in mind. And they have to remember, look what they're willing to do to all of the different checks and balances and separation of powers when they're not in power. Can you imagine if this group, if this crew, if the AOC squad gets themselves somehow into the top of the government apparatus, you know, in the White House? It'll be a nightmare for everybody.
It's going to be a nightmare. This is the reason why it's so important for people to speak out. I think for the American people, a lot of Americans are saying, what do we do? What can we do to fight this, you know, this growing movement to the left? And I know you've talked about this. You don't give up. That's one thing. I know you don't give up. And you keep exposing it, both in the education system, in the government, by putting your vote, making your vote count, getting up off the couch and voting. Do you think that's what's going to happen come 2020?
I certainly hope so. And I would say that your point about how you never give up and you fight, I mean, I think the good news is that conservatives should take a lot of comfort in knowing that the fight itself is worth it. I mean, this is our country. This is our future. This is about the direction. Remember, it's not just America. It's our country, as you all know, Sarah, somebody who's traveled and reported from places like you have all over the globe. Our country has so many downstream effects on the rest of the world, more so than any other nation in the history of the world. And so as I look at this now and people say, well, we're frustrated, what do we do? You fight in every way you can. You try to support the Constitution in every way you can. You tell people, you talk to people, you stand up for your values, you vote, you support media entities that reflect your values. I mean, I do think a lot of people get lazy with, oh, I guess I'll just get my news from CNN because that's where people go for. No, CNN is propaganda. Don't turn it on. Find people that actually tell you the truth, who not only share your values, but are willing to tell you that, yes, of course, all news is editorial. All news is therefore in some way opinion. So, but people should relish the fight. I mean, get excited about the fight because it is what matters. And I do think that it helps to have right on your side. And that's the thing you and I, Sarah, other than enjoying, you know, the finer things in life sometimes, either D.C. or New York, you know, a fantastic steak or a good action movie.
That's right.
You got to enjoy the fight.
Well, and that's what I tell everyone. You know, I want this to be, I want them to know a little bit about you, too, beyond just what we do every single day. You know, this fight, we need everybody. Everybody counts here. This isn't just about, you know, the Buck Sexton Show talking to America and educating America about what's going on there, or the Sarah Carter Show, or listening to, you know, Fox News, or listening to your congressional members, but it's about you actively being involved. And I think people now are waking up. This sleeping giant is awoken, because they're seeing what's happening. People are not dumb. Americans are so smart. They know what's happening. They see what's happening in our country. And people are standing up and saying, whoa, 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 wait a minute. I didn't buy into this. This isn't my country. You know, I may be a Democrat, I may be an independent, but I'm not a socialist, and I'm not going to go in that direction. I believe in discourse, but I don't believe in where you're taking this. And that's what I want people to realize. Look, don't let the Grinch who stole Christmas, which is, you know, Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi, affect your holiday season or affect the way politics are run in this country. Because the president, just as Buck said, is still the president. Now, Buck, I'm going to shift because I know I'm going to keep you on a little longer than you expected, but I want people to know about you because you're so amazing. You're like such a great friend of mine. I trust this man with my life. I want them to know about your career a little bit. I want them to download your podcast. I want them to hear about it. Tell the audience a little bit about your background in the CIA and with the New York Police Department and everything that you've done. Let me know what your favorite holiday drink is, because I do want to know that.
Continue with the love fest here, because for your audience, they should know that not only is Sarah one of the most talented investigative journalists around, but she is probably the nicest person. I mean, there are one or two others who might give her some competition in the entire media business, but she may, in fact, be the kindest human being in the media business. And she just proved that by saying all these nice things. Hopefully some of it a little deserved on my behalf, but we'll see. But yeah, I have the Buck Sexton Show, which I hope your audience, I think that they'll, I mean, if they like you, they'll like me, because we get along. I mean, you're also one of my closest friends in the business, so this is the other part of it, too. We always have a lot of fun. We get to catch up and hang out about everything. I do a show every day for 3 hours. It's news of the day. It's on after Sean Hannity on Premier Radio Network. So I'm on, 120, 130 stations, and we all do a podcast. The podcast goes up at 3 o'clock. So anyway, if people could download it on the iHeart app, the Buck Sexton Show, that'd be fantastic. Why they should do that? I mean, I'm ex-CIA, so I came into the Central Intelligence Agency right out of college. Born and raised in New York City, so 9/11 is why I joined the agency. I did time in Iraq, did time in Afghanistan, came back, spent a year at the NYPD Intelligence Division doing counterterrorism work, and then I was going to go get a graduate degree, and to his credit, Glenn Beck and his team, they just found me, and I had never done media, and they had a lunch meeting, or really a coffee meeting with me, one of Glenn's sort of more senior executives, and she convinced me in one coffee meeting to forget about getting a master's degree and just go work for them. And I was already into the schools, by the way. I was already going. So that was quite a shift, quite a change. And, I think since then, I've spent a fair amount of time doing Fox, but I've also worked at CNN, The Hill, spent years at The Blaze, filled in on radio for Glenn Rush and Sean Hannity. So I think I'm the only person who's done all three of those shows as a guest host.
And, he's amazing.
I just try to do a show that really is both highly informative and honest, but also entertaining, which is where we get into the commie bear. I definitely do some silly voices and some other things to spice things up. Because, Sarah, if you're going to cover especially 3 hours, you better just like have some fun with it. Because
you have to eat borscht, Buck. You have to eat borscht and drink vodka.
Sarah is wonderful. We're going to have to work on her Russian accent a little bit.
I know. I'm trying. I only can say like...
That's pretty good. You're getting there.
Привет. Okay, you do it. Come on, Buck. You can do it. Okay. Jenny is embarrassed for me now. She is laughing her head off. She's like, please, Sarah, don't do that accent again. I'm going to try.
Greetings, Sarah Carter and Peter Istainas. Time for you to drink some vodka for Christmas holiday.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
Yeah,
it's
perfect. It sounds a little like Count Dracula sometimes, but yeah, that was our comedy.
That's okay, because you can't even be friends with a Russian now, according to the Democrats. It's like so weird. Like, they believe in communism. They're totally into it. They're totally into Lenin and socialism and everything. But if you even eat borscht or go to or get a vodka drink, I love vodka, by the way. If you even do that, you're all of a sudden you're a Russian enemy of the state.
Well, the only authoritarian government that the Democrats don't like really is the Russian government. They love Cuba. They love Venezuela. They're all, Tom Friedman and others write these glowing editorials about China. Especially if you're a Latin American despot, we know the Democrats love you. But even other countries around the world, you can be a strong man, which I'm sure is the term. I feel like we're it's part of the patriarchy, Sarah. We should find a strong person. We don't want to be a strong man.
Yeah, that's right.
But if you have these different governments,
You know, the only one that really upsets them, the only authoritarian that really gets under their skin is Vladimir Putin. And that's a new thing, by the way. People forget the Hillary-Russia reset button and Trump, I mean, Obama saying that he had more flexibility. And it used to be the Democrats were reaching out to Russia, but then when they created this mythology of Russia gave the election to Trump, now they hate Putin more than anything else. I mean,
oh, remember when Obama reduced the sanctions in 2010? Russia. I mean, and allowed Russia to sell arms to Iran. So, yeah. So this is all new. I don't think people realize that they were buddy-buddy. They loved, you know, get Russia involved in everything, even Syria.
Yeah. It's been remarkable to see people who, when the Soviet Union actually was an imperialist empire all over the world and was threatening us with annihilation and pointing nuclear weapons at us, that Russia, so to speak, did not upset liberals. It's the Russia that's a fraction of that, that's actually become free market oriented, that is an ally in many ways in the fight against jihadism, at least. And there are some places where we can coincide with the Russian. That Russia is the greatest global threat imaginable, and they're completely freaked out about it because, again, the propagandists in the media, Sarah, as you and I both know, they have no shame about any of this. I mean, they don't mind beating the war drums over Russia as long as it gives them an excuse for why Hillary didn't win.
That's it. And it's one excuse after another, Buck, just one excuse after another. We can look back. There's video of Bernie in Russia, you know.
Wait, so I have to give you my favorite Christmas drink, by the way. I didn't mean to skip.
Oh, yeah, no, I want to hear it before I let you go. So I know you're a busy man. I want to hear what's your favorite Christmas drink and your favorite Christmas movie and your favorite Christmas song. I'm going to put you on the line right now.
All right, so, wow. I will start with, if you have the proper brass mugs, Moscow Mule is probably my favorite Christmassy drink, although I probably would also just drink what I always do, which is tequila, and put some pine needles from a Christmas tree in it and say it's a Christmas drink, so I could do that.
He does love tequila.
Add a little bit of herbal infusion to it. We call that a I don't know, I have to come up with a special name for it. It's a buck drink. As for the best Christmas movie, I think this is an easy one, and I know people are going to kind of groan, but the best Christmas movie of all time is, in fact, Die Hard. And then the best...
Die Hard. I knew it. I knew it.
Yeah, okay. It's the best, of course. And then the best Christmas song... I'm a Bing Crosby White Christmas guy. I think that's probably my favorite Christmas song.
Okay, I'm going to go with you on the Bing Crosby White Christmas. I'm going to change my favorite movie. It's actually not Die Hard, although I love it. I love Die Hard, but I always watch It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart. It's like
a classic.
And then just to be like an agitator, I'm going to go with the Dean Martin song that everybody's just so worried about.
Oh, the warm, keep me warm and snuggle song or whatever.
Keep me warm and snuggle.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I'm going to just go with Baby, it's cold outside because you know what? Yeah, I don't mind being a woman. Hi. And I know guys are a little bit of scoundrels, but sometimes it works, you know, and I don't think there's anything offensive about that song at all. So I'm just throwing it out there. I'm sure it's going to piss a lot of people off, but I think those are mine. And I'm going to have to remember this.
I like that the social justice warriors have a problem with you know, Baby, It's Cold Outside. And then on all the other stations they listen to, they can hear the wonderful anti-patriarchy messaging of, like, you know, put it on the glass and back that ass up. So that's the good news is that, you know, I'm glad that we have our priorities straight about where the real offenses in music are occurring about objectification of women.
Yeah, total threat. I mean, Dean Martin, wow. Whew, that guy, really offensive.
Wow, man.
But you're right. You're so right. I mean, we were just talking about this before we came on the air with you, and I love that, by the way. Put it on the glass and back your ass up, whatever that is. Because
by the way, Put It on the Glass is a real song, by the way, just in case your viewers are curious. Put it on the glass.
No, I know.
And by the way, they're not talking about like a cigarette, so...
So true. We were talking about that here in studio because we were saying it's so crazy now. You know, it's like offensive to Democrats, you know, to some Democrats that have really gone to the left, and to people, you know, these what you call social justice warriors, you know, that you would even be feminine, that I would choose to be feminine, that I would appreciate a man opening a door for me, or that, you know, I mean, and I've been to war zones. I mean, I spent my time on the ground. You know this, Buck. And I believe that women have capabilities just like men to do many of the same things. But you know, it's almost like they're ashamed. They're angry. It's like, what was that show that that we were just talking, Handmaiden's Tale, right? Like, they dream of that day. They want the Handmaiden's Tale to exist so that they could just rise up against men. And it's just, it's insanity.
I totally agree. I like pretty ladies, and I'm not afraid to say it.
Woo, you heard it here first, ladies. Buck Sexton, he likes pretty ladies, and he's not afraid to say it. Buck, thank you so much for being on the show today. You don't know how much it means to me. I want everyone to download the Buck Sexton Show too. He's wonderful. He's smart. If you like listening to the Sarah Carter Show, you will love the Buck Sexton Show. He is incredible, and he has a much better Russian accent than I do, although I'm working on it.
Sarah, you are the best and the sweetest, and just a big hug and a Merry Christmas to you, to Marty, and to the rest of the fam. And thank you so much for having me on your show.
Merry Christmas to you too, Buck. Merry Christmas, and have such a great holiday. And I can't wait to see you. And we will both have a shot of either tequila with pine or a mule. How about a Russian mule, huh? With
there
vodka.
All right. Take care, everybody. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. It was so great having Buck on. He is a great friend. I wanted someone for the holiday show to be somebody that I've worked with, somebody that is a friend of mine, somebody that I can connect with. And why? Because this is the holiday season. We don't want to forget the people that mean the most to us. It's not about Washington, D.C., folks. It's not about the craziness that happens in this town. That's kind of a sideshow, right? People like to call it the circus, right? That's the circus. What's most important this Christmas season, this Hanukkah season, is to remember the people that are important to you, your family, your children, your friends, your neighbors, to reach out and to be friends and to share great times with them and to build on all that happiness. Don't think about this craziness here in Washington. America is going to be fine. We're a strong nation. We're a beautiful nation. We're a resilient nation. And we will find our way back to that medium where we can once again talk to each other. I truly believe that. You know, a house divided cannot stand. Make sure that your house is not divided. Reach out. Who cares? Who cares if somebody in your family is a Democrat or doesn't like President Trump? Don't talk about that. Find a way to talk about the things that mean most to you. Find a way to spend some time together as a family and just enjoy those moments that maybe we forget throughout the year because we're so busy working, we're so busy with our daily lives or wrapped up in the news or wrapped up in our work. Let that all go. Have fun. Merry Christmas, and know that I am here loving every single one of you, thinking about you, and thinking what a pleasure it is to be able to do this podcast and share all of these thoughts and all of these great interviews with the American public. You mean so much to me, and I want to wish you all a very merry, merry Christmas and a super happy new year. May all your blessings come true. May all your wishes come true. And we'll be here. We'll be here maybe before the end of the year, maybe next year in 2020. America is great. Don't forget to go to sarahacarter.com, sarahacarter.com. That's where the story begins. You can read all of my stories there. And please follow me on Twitter at @SarahCarterDC. Stay healthy. Drink your vitamin C. I'm coming down with a cold, but that's okay. Merry Christmas. Love y'all.